This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years.
Since 1947.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
This morning, we have in studio with us the executive director of Adams Place, Terry Dill. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good, Scott. A little bit tired, but it's a beautiful morning and I'm ready to go.
I think I just function normally on tired.
That's my speed. I would agree with that.
It's like, to me, it feels like life today is much busier than even 10 years ago.
Absolutely. Much busier and moves a whole lot faster. I remember growing up, you know, you always hear your parents and grandparents saying that time goes faster the older you get. And I thought, no, it doesn't. You're crazy. At my age, now I realize they were right and it's getting faster every day.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's like, man, my parents were right about something. What's going on here?
That is so hard to admit.
It is. Yeah, you guys have a lot going on at Adams Place. And by the way, for folks listening, if you have any questions, you can text those in at 615-893-1450. But what are some of the things going on at Adams Place and things that have happened in the last couple of weeks or so?
This time of year, we always have a lot going on. It is Walk to End Alzheimer's season, so Adams Place does quite a bit of fundraising throughout the fall. We had a big fundraiser in the Independent Living a couple of weeks ago, a big bake sale and cake walk, which was a lot of fun, and we raised over $1,700 for that. That's a lot of fun because the residents get involved. Residents do the baking. They provide the things that we're selling, and then staff also brings things in. So it's just another witness of how involved the Independent Living residents are still within the community. And then coming up in October, on October the 11th, we're having our third annual Classic Car Show. This started out a few years ago and started out small but has grown substantially. And, you know, we don't require reservations or anything. We just ask anybody that's got a classic car that wants to come out and show it off and try to win a prize, come on out. There are registration fees. You'd have to call the office to find out more details about that. And then we'll also have another bake sale for that. So we try to raise as much money as we possibly can for the Alzheimer's Association. Very worthy cause. And then that Walk to End Alzheimer's is on October the 18th.
So that car show, where do they park their cars?
They set them up. We block the parking lot off in front of the healthcare center. So it's the stretch of parking between our healthcare center and Walmart. So as you're driving down that stretch of Memorial, you can just look over the berm and see all of the classic cars down there.
That's a pretty long stretch then.
It is a fairly long stretch.
That's cool. I bet the residents there really enjoy that. Kind of takes them back in time for some of those old muscle cars.
It does. And the residents that are on campus that still own those old cars, they bring those out. And a lot of them have children who collect old cars, so they bring theirs. And then just, you know, the associations in and around Murfreesboro that deal with the classic cars, they get the word out and everybody comes in and just has a good time.
So for those who are going out there to show their cars, do they bring lawn chairs and just kind of sit next to their
car?
Yeah. Answer a lot of questions.
Answer a lot of questions, brag about their cars, talk about the old days, those kinds of things.
That's interesting. And I'm sure a lot of the questions are from the residents, you know, when did you restore this? All that stuff. Yeah. That's interesting. So how many typically do you see in attendance? Not the number of cars, but those who come out there just to look.
You know, I would hate to venture at a guess. I would need to check Ashley Dunkerson, our life enrichment director, one of our life enrichment directors. She actually coordinates that. I probably should have talked to her before I decided to talk about it on the radio, but, you know, she'll forgive me.
Just make numbers up.
Right.
But the car show, that's one of those things that is neat that you guys do, because it does take some of those residents back to a time where they remember maybe their first date, you know.
Absolutely.
And they love that.
Yeah, it does. And it's a community event. So it's not just for the Adams Place community, but it is for the Murfreesboro community. So, you know, we encourage anybody that has a like of old cars. My daughter and son-in-law are going to come in from Knoxville for the weekend just for that event. So anybody that likes classic cars, come on out, spend some time with us. We're going to, like I said, we're going to be having a bake sale, just really intending to try to raise money for the Alzheimer's Association and have a good time.
Now, is your son-in-law bringing with him a classic car?
He is not. He's in his doctoral program right now, so he doesn't have the money for a classic car, but he hopes to. So he and his dad have actually restored cars for years.
Now, will there be some newer cars as well there?
I would imagine so.
Yeah. So a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
Okay. And again, that's October 11th at Adams Place.
That is correct. I believe that it starts at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
There's postings all over our social media about it. I'm sure there will be signs out on the road. So kind of pay attention to the signs. Look at us on Facebook and other social media platforms so that you can get the details.
Sounds good.
Or just call our office.
Yeah, that would be easy.
Yeah.
And again, our number here at the station, if you want to call or text in any questions, 615-893-1450. And one of the questions we did have this morning was asking, when you move into Adams Place Independent Living, can you decorate and personalize that unit however you want?
Absolutely. We want your home at Adams Place to be like the home that you are leaving. We really don't want you to change anything about your lifestyle. We just want you to do it from a different address. So you're going to come in. When you select your apartment, you'll get to select your paint colors. We'll paint it and make it as much like home as we can. Then you come in, you bring your furniture, your pictures, your knickknacks, and you transform that into your new home.
That's pretty cool that you get to pick those colors out and you guys actually do the work.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. When people do move in, do they hire moving companies or do they work with you to find a moving company? What do they do?
So I've got a couple of different companies that we do work with. We've got one that provides every aspect of assistance you need, from measuring out the apartment and placing your furniture. They come, pack your stuff, move it, unpack it, and set your home up, and then welcome you home. That's a company called Next Stage for Seniors. I highly recommend their services. And then there are other, if somebody wants to do their own packing, then we're going to recommend moving companies that we have worked with successfully over the years that have been in and out of our building. They know our routines. They know the way around the building. So we definitely have some resources that we can hand out to folks.
Changing the subject just a little, because you brought up the Alzheimer's walk and all that. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, are you seeing a higher number of people or new residents who do have Alzheimer's come to Adams Place for the first time?
What we see in independent living is couples that come in where one spouse does have a cognitive issue and the other does not. So they're able to come in and spend a bit of time in Adams Place Independent Living before the spouse with cognitive dysfunction needs to transition to a higher level of care. You know, unfortunately, I would say not only in Rutherford County, but probably nationwide, there's not nearly enough memory care available. And so, you know, we'll help families out if we can maintain and help the healthy spouse keep their loved one in an independent environment for as long as we can. We're certainly going to do that.
You know, it seemed like whenever the UT female basketball coach passed away, Pat Summitt, mm-hmm. because of Alzheimer's, it seemed like at that point, at least I remember hearing more news and more news about younger and younger people getting Alzheimer's.
Yeah, it is unfortunately becoming predominant in younger ages. Who knows what causes that? You know, you look back over the generations and you wonder how long we've actually been dealing with cognitive issues. You know, I remember growing up, you just hear your grandparents talking about senility and these types of things. And then years later, they come up with a name, they apply a name to it. And then when somebody like Pat Summitt passes away as a result of it, it gets more national attention. So I think that once you get the broader national attention, you start hearing more and more stories from all a variety of ages.
You know, when you're in your 60s or so, I feel like that's still a young age to where you're still very active. But when you're in your 60s and you know, your spouse starts developing signs of Alzheimer's, I could see where doing something like moving into Adam's Place Independent Living would make sense, because you've got, you know, the one spouse who functions totally normal, right, doesn't have memory problems, and the other who does have those memory problems, right, with Alzheimer's. And that would be a difficult situation to be in.
It can be, and it really depends on the severity of how the disease has affected their loved one, how far along they are in the progression. In some instances, we're able to see the individual that does have the cognition issues not necessarily improve, but maybe kind of level out for a little while, because they get into a more stimulating environment than what they have in their home. You know, if you think about a husband and wife being in their home, one of them having cognitive decline, the natural tendency is going to be to withdraw and stay in your home more than going out, which means that both of you are going to have limited stimulation. Yet when you move into a place like Adam's Place, where there's a 100 neighbors right outside of your door and a wide variety of activities to take part in and beautiful grounds to get out and walk and get exercise and exercise programs to take part in, those things help pull us out of isolation and, again, not improve the cognitive decline, but maybe slow it down just a little bit.
You know, it seems like so many different people, they when they have Alzheimer's, they go through it differently. I mean, you have some, and it's rapid. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you get that diagnosis, next thing you know, they're at that point where they don't remember their own name. Mm-hmm. And it's sad to see that when it does happen so rapidly. But then you have other cases that you were kind of like talking about how it just kind of plateaus at some point.
Right.
But you have other cases where it's going on for years and years.
And I think that's a big part of it. I think that we as a society are really good at justifying our behaviors and justifying the behaviors of those that we love. So while other people might recognize signs of cognitive decline, we may be in denial, which puts off a diagnosis. And sometimes that diagnosis is put off for years. And by the time we do get the diagnosis, we realize that it's much more advanced than anyone gave credit to begin with. Then you've got the other spectrum where people, as soon as they start realizing that there's some forgetfulness, or, you know, I lost my keys for the third time this week or whatever, they go ahead and start getting that diagnosis. So, you know, and you've got folks that maybe Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia runs in their family, so they go get genetic testing to see if they have the markers for it so that they know what to watch for. So I really think it just depends on how proactive we are in watching ourselves and watching our family members.
You know, we've had police officers on the air, firemen, doctors, nurses on the air. And one of the questions we ask, because they're in this field where they develop relationships with those in the community, mm-hmm, and they have to go back and sometimes work a crime scene involving that person they developed a relationship with, which mm-hmm means it probably is tougher than what they act like,
yeah,
in a lot of ways. But for you, you're developing these relationships as well at work. Is it tough at times when somebody who's lived there for 10, 15 years passes away? How do you handle that? Because you see that a lot.
We do see that a lot, and it is tough. These folks are our family. The residents, the staff, the family members of the residents, we all do become very close. It honestly does not matter whether the person has lived with us for 6 months or 16 years. A loss is hard. I told a boss years ago, I said, if I ever reach the point where I do not cry over the loss of a resident, it's time for me to leave the industry. And thankfully, I'm not there yet. It does take a toll. But as the professionals working in the industry, we learn to adapt. We know that it's going to happen. I think one of the benefits that's come for my family is my children have kind of grown up with me in this industry, so they have a very good understanding of life and death, and they know that it's going to happen. So I think that they're better prepared than a lot of people are for death. But it is hard.
In this day and age, the divorce rate is higher than ever. I've heard statistics where it's 50% in some areas of Tennessee. But the neat thing that you see, and I find it interesting, that age group, a lot of them, their love story started in high school.
Yes.
And they're still married today.
Yeah, still married today. It is not at all uncommon for us to have anniversary parties for couples that have been married 70 plus years.
Wow. That's wild.
It is beautiful to watch and to hear their stories and to see the love in their eyes and to hear them say, I love them more today than I did the day that we met. You know, it really is a true testament of they took their vows seriously, and they admit it wasn't easy, but we didn't have a choice. We weren't going to give up on one another, and they have fought the battles. And you know, I've got people living there now, married 60, 65, 70 years, and it is a beautiful thing to see.
Now, those same couples, when one does develop Alzheimer's, it's got to be touching to see how the other spouse, who may live in independent living, is walking to see his wife, or
absolutely,
vice versa. But they're walking to see them each and every day, and
yes,
they're acting as if everything's normal. But
yeah,
what is that like?
So, you know, that's, again, one of the beauties of our campus. Because of the setup, you know, we can have residents living in different levels of care and get to one another on a daily basis or multiple times a day. And I had a resident, he's recently transitioned to assisted living. His wife has been in long-term care for several years. And we've had conversations multiple times, and he tells me, you know, she does not have any idea who I am, but with tears in his eyes, he says, I know who she is, and I'm going to see her every day. And he does, even now that he's in assisted living, he goes over every day, two and three times a day.
In those types of situations, the loved one who doesn't have Alzheimer's, what do they do? Do they just sit with them, read them a book, watch TV with them, or what types of things play out?
Any number of things. I mean, it could be all of that. It could be helping them eat. If their loved one has gotten to where they can no longer feed themselves, then they'll go and help them to eat. Sometimes it's literally just to sit and hold their hand.
You hear those stories about how music kind of revives those who have Alzheimer's in a way, and they'll hear a song, they'll recognize it from maybe the 60s, maybe the 50s, and they'll start singing along with it as if nothing at all is wrong.
Yeah.
Do you see that too?
We do. You know, long-term memory is the last thing that's going when it comes to Alzheimer's. And, you know, you can, the ones that are still verbal, you can sit and have a conversation with them about everything that happened on a day-to-day basis in the 1930s. Yet they
is
don't
it
have. Yeah, it is.
Wow.
It really is. And, you know, that's one of the things that makes it hard for families to recognize sometimes, because they'll tell me, it's like, well, I just talked to mom the other day and we had these wonderful conversations about my childhood. I'm like, I know.
Man.
Because that's what they remember, but not what they had for breakfast. So it does, it's easy for us to be in denial, because it, you know, we want to go back and reminisce with our parents and hear the stories so that we can remember them when they're gone. But if all we're talking about is the past, then we don't really see what's going on in the present.
So when they're talking about something that occurred, let's say in the 50s, for example, and they're talking to their son, their daughter, their husband, whatever it is, they're in their mind, they feel like they're there right then in that time period.
Absolutely.
And they're recalling things that really truly happened in their life.
Yeah.
That's wild to me, because if you went and talked to that same person before Alzheimer's, they may not have remembered all the details the way they do now that they have Alzheimer's.
That's
confusing.
Possible.
I don't understand that, you know? And I guess that's why Alzheimer's continues to be studied by scientists today, and hopefully a cure is going to come fairly soon.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, and you made mention a few minutes ago that it affects every person differently. And I mean, you can put five people in a room that all have Alzheimer's, even the same stage of Alzheimer's, and every one of them is being affected differently.
The stories that we hear that I guess are the hardest when it comes to Alzheimer's are those where the spouse becomes more combative, and it's even harder to control their actions. They end up walking out of the house, walking down the street, and they get lost. I mean, you hear about those silver alerts issued by the TBI. But in those types of situations, how much better is life for that other spouse when you're there to help them with this situation and make it better in some way?
I think it takes some of the responsibility off. Hesitant to use the word burden because our loved ones are never a burden to us. But there is a weight that you carry when you are solely responsible for someone's safety. And if you can get yourselves or at least get that person into a community where there is staff 24 hours a day that can help you provide care, help you provide that level of security. You know, one of the reservations, again, going back to the current generation that we're serving, you know, they took their wedding vows, till death do us part in sickness and health. They took that literally, as we all should. But what that meant for them is, I personally am going to be the one to take care of you. But when something like Alzheimer's enters the picture, it becomes more and more difficult for you as one individual to provide care 24 hours a day to someone, especially if they become a wanderer or combative or anything like that. And when you come into a community, you've got staff that is rotating every 8 to 12 hours. So you've got fresh perspectives coming in as opposed to you being in it 24 hours a day by yourself or with maybe occasional assistance. And it wears you out physically, mentally, and emotionally. And so coming into a community really does give you some relief.
You have those out there who, you know, like you're talking about, they took seriously their wedding vows. Mm-hmm. But with that, I guess when they're caring for their loved one who may be going through something like Alzheimer's, they don't slow down to think about, what about my health?
Right.
And I've seen it personally where you have the spouse who is caring for the one with Alzheimer's, that spouse, he dies, but because he is overly burdened, overly stressed, and he doesn't realize it.
Yes.
But it
dies or gets hurt and then can no longer provide care. And now the family is faced with dealing with two parents that both need care. And, you know, I advise people all of the time. I respect the vows that they took. I respect the fact that they want to be able to take care of their loved one. But my advice to them is, in some instances, the absolute best way that you can honor that vow is to bring in help.
Yeah. So stress is very real.
It
is. Stress truly does cause physical ailments.
Absolutely.
It could lead to a heart attack. I mean, it definitely is real. And when you're caring for an individual and you're having to get up at, let's say, 2 a.m. because they wake up and get out of bed and you don't know where they're walking to, that stuff really happens. And we've heard police talk about it. We've seen police reports on it.
Yeah.
And that's when those silver alerts are issued.
That's
Those things are very real.
Yeah, they are.
At Adam's Place, I know you have a lot of safety mechanisms in place, but going over to those who are in independent living, let's say something happens, like the spouse, you know, one or the other falls and hurts themselves, maybe even breaks their leg when they fall. How quickly do you learn about that, and how quickly do the staff at Adam's Place, how quickly do they get to that person, and how do they find out that they're hurt?
So more often than not, we find out rather quickly. A number of our residents wear call alert buttons. The old school, I call them the help I've fallen and I can't get up button.
I remember those commercials.
Yeah, me too. So got to watch the original versions, you know. So a number of our residents do wear those. And then most residents have cell phones that they keep with them at all times. So I would say in the majority of cases, we are alerted to a fall within minutes of it happening. Even if it is a single person living by themselves, they're either going to push their emergency button or they're going to pick up the phone and call us. In rare instances, if they are nowhere near their call button or nowhere near their phone, they'll just call out for help and somebody walking down the hall hears them and comes and gets us. So in most cases, we're going to learn about it within minutes. We're able to go down and assess and see, is it a matter of you just slipped out of your chair and need us to help you get up? Or is there a potential injury? And if there's a potential injury, we're on the phone with 911 and the fire department is there. You know, we're very fortunate to have a fire department within stone's throw of our building and they are there quickly.
So the call button you're talking about, the button you push if you do fall.
Yeah.
I guess you could put it in your pocket, wear it around your neck, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
But for that, how often do those instances occur at night versus the daytime? I mean, are they usually situations at night where somebody gets up to use the bathroom? What do you see mostly?
It's probably about equal. I mean, you know, we can have somebody walk in the front door from an outing and trip on their walker and go down in front of us. Or we can have somebody calling in the middle of the night. Probably the majority of any kind of an incident, they do happen during the daytime, but we do have the occasional midnight call where our security personnel goes up and checks on them.
And then they would, I guess, call an ambulance if
they
needed.
Do.
Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, Adams Place, it's unlike, at least I think it's unlike all the other places in Rutherford County for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. But one, it's got that history of the fact that the Adam who started it, you know, he had this goal of a campus in mind that, yes, was going to serve the elderly in a way that has never been done before.
Yeah, Dr. Adams was a visionary. How he was able to see in the 70s when he started NHC, how he was able to look so far into the future and imagine that campus concept and then work with teams to bring that to fruition in the late 90s absolutely amazes me, because, you know, especially from the independent living perspective, that is something that wasn't even heard of 30 years ago. And so he saw a need and developed a campus around that need.
You know, I'm not in the healthcare industry, so I have no clue about this, but I'm wondering, because a lot of the stuff he thought of that did happen, that he put together, it wasn't done anywhere else at the time.
Right.
So I'm wondering, has he received awards over the years, or his family been awarded, you know, hey, he's the first one that did such and such.
Yeah, he has received a number of awards. And unfortunately, I don't know the details about this, but it's my understanding he's being presented, or at least in his memory, is being presented another award later on this year, maybe in October. I've just heard a little bit about that up to this point. But, you know, Dr. Adams was very influential in all of healthcare. I mean, you see his name at MTSU and at MMC and over by the hospital. He was very influential in all of healthcare in Rutherford County, in his office, I think, was in Woodbury. So that was where he started. And he saw the need and he brought about a solution, and it was a good solution.
You know, I remember, and there's still movies out there like this, but in movies that I used to see, it would be in a setting of the 60s or something like that, and you would have this family member in a nursing home up on a hill that looked like a great big old house, rocking chair out front.
Yeah.
But that's truly how those nursing homes used to be. And they were called nursing homes. I mean, they were quite different than what we see today.
Oh, they were very different. And that actually presents a little bit of a problem with our aging population, because the people that are in their 80s and 90s, they remember the nursing home on the hill with the rocking chair. Yeah. And they're like, please don't put me there, because you walk in the door and everybody's in a wheelchair with their head slumped over and sound asleep, you know, and all that sort of thing. And that was one of the things that Dr. Adams saw, was that nursing homes in the 60s and 70s, they got a bad rap for a good reason. You know, they weren't providing the care of dignity and respect that these individuals deserved. And that was one of the things that he so desperately wanted to change, was the way that we are allowed to age. And did an excellent job in, you know, starting with NHC and then coming and developing Adams Place.
The other types of nursing homes that you'd see in movies in bigger cities were these institution-like mm-hmm. facilities that they look like a hospital.
Yeah.
I mean, it just was not welcoming at all. And sadly, there's still a lot of places out there like that.
There probably are. You know, I think that a lot of people do try to make changes so that they are better. We've certainly tried to change the image of all things related to aging. And, you know, one of the best things that anyone can do is if they're seeing a loved one in need is come to Adams Place. Come see how it is different. You know, especially on the independent living and the assisted living side of things, people still think, well, Adams Place, it's a nursing home. I don't want to go there. Oh, no, wait, this is independent living. This is like a cruise line. Yeah, maybe I could see myself living here. And then, you know, as the level of care changes as we age and get to the place where we need assisted living, memory care, long-term care, the spaces are going to be smaller because they need to be smaller as we age. So things in the healthcare center are not going to run quite as excitingly as they do in independent living, but the level of care that we provide is still there. The quality of the care that we provide is still there.
We have to take a short break, but real quick, we'll get to this question here. How tall are the ceilings in independent living units?
Depending on the floor, it's either 9.5 or 10 feet.
9.5 or 10 feet.
Yes.
So that's nice. That's like a nice house.
Yeah, it is nice. It takes the smaller apartments. The smallest one we have is 700 square feet, but with the higher ceilings, it feels even bigger.
That's cool. We're going to take a short break, and then we will be right back. And Terry Deal with us today from Adams Place. Give us just a second. We're going to hear some commercials from our sponsors, and I believe the weather, and then we will be right back in just a minute.
No middlemen, no mystery, just fresh picked produce straight from the Tennessee dirt to your dinner table.
Rutherford County Farmers Market,
where our family feeds your family.
Rutherford County Farmers Market, there's something fresh every week, Tuesdays and Fridays, 7 to 1, on John R. Rice Boulevard.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. Demas's has had a bar when we opened 35 years ago, and we've done the exact same thing with our bar menu that we've done with our food menu. We get higher quality items, higher quality cocktails. Again, some people just want a drink with their meal, where they might be able to get a drink to complement their meals. You need to check it out, so come on over right now. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street. We really focus on value.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Lessons, we got that. Drums and every other instrument with strings or keys. Music World and Drummer's Den, the one-stop shop where you have everything that you might need. Ukuleles, violins, things that they're not expecting to find just everywhere they go. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course. Music World and Drummer's Den.
Hi, my name is Diane Davenport. There are many reasons why I love Adams Place. So many people move here from out of town and they need to look for a new doctor. And it's very challenging to get a doctor because they don't always take Medicare. There's a long waiting list. So what Adams Place offers is called Blue Sky House Calls. A physician will see you. You can get health care that you need when you need it. They'll come anytime.
Come tour Adams Place and discover living a dream in your senior years.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett, hitting right at what matters most to all of us here in the heart of Tennessee. Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS, AM, FM, and online. The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Terry Deal is with us this morning from Adams Place here in Murfreesboro. We're almost at October right now.
Yeah.
The year has flown by. December is coming up, and, well, of course, Thanksgiving right before that. So for holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas, what does that look like for the residents, for the staff, for everybody at Adam's Place?
Well, Scott, I'm actually going to back it up a little bit further than that, because for us, the holidays start in October. We do, for Halloween, we do trick-or-treating for the kids. We have all of the residents' grandkids and great-grandkids and kids of our staff come out and do trick-or-treating. And that's a lot of fun because the residents get buckets filled with candy and they dress up for Halloween. And the kids start out in the healthcare center and then come through to assisted living and then come through to independent living, and they walk away with a big haul of stuff.
I can imagine.
And then, you know, for the residents themselves on Halloween, we do a big parties for them. We have dress up costume contests, and I'm kind of amazed at some of the costumes they come up with. I've had residents come out that we have absolutely no idea who they are.
That's funny.
So for us, it starts that early, so we'll start decorating here within the next few weeks. And, you know, then Christmas or Thanksgiving and Christmas and independent living, we do really big buffets for our residents and their family members. Families love to dine with us on those holidays in particular. It's a whole lot easier than cooking for yourself. So we take reservations so that we know how many people to be expecting and how many we've got to feed and that sort of thing. Some folks do like to go home, be with their families in their home settings, and probably two-thirds of them will stay on campus,
yeah,
and their families will come here. So we make it really convenient. You know, again, one of the things that I always say, and I said earlier today, we don't want you to change your lifestyle. You know, if you're used to having your family come to you for the holidays, you still bring them to you for the holidays. Just bring them to Adam's Place. And so they do. So we provide private catering for our residents. We have meeting areas that we can reserve depending on the size of the group that's coming. And we do raffle drawings for our guest rooms so that family members have a guaranteed place when they're traveling. So we try to do a lot of things to just really make it very easy and convenient for families to celebrate the holidays. Then in December, as we're approaching Christmas, Santa Claus is coming to Adam's Place.
The real one?
The real, of course, the real one.
Man,
he
that's
comes
awesome.
And he will come and visit, and we'll have cookies and, you know, again, invite the kids, the grandkids, the great grandkids, the residents, the staff, the neighbors, whoever. We try to involve even the folks on our wait list and let them know that these special events are happening so that they can come and start being a part of things that are going on campus, so that by the time they make the move, they're already kind of comfortable with what's going on.
So with that trick-or-treating, do the grandkids go to the independent living hallway and go actually door to door?
We have tried that, and it gets really confusing, and they don't know where to go.
They forget which door they just left.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So, you know, if you're not used to the halls, they do kind of look alike. So I think last year was the first year that we brought it down into the parlor, and we had residents sign up who wanted a bucket, and they have to, you know, they provide their own candy and that sort of thing. But what was really interesting, we ended up, I think, having maybe 25 or 30 residents that signed up to have a bucket of candy, and the trick-or-treaters were coming right as dinner was ending, and residents were coming out from dinner that didn't have a bucket, and they're like, but I want to do this. So our life enrichment director, thinking ahead, you know, she had bought extra buckets and extra candy, and she's like, all right, here's your bucket, here's some candy, go sit down. So this year in independent living, we're actually expecting 45 to 50 residents to participate at this level.
You know, I gotta ask, because when I was a kid, there was always one house that I went to and gave away apples and stuff,
yeah,
like that. Have you had any folks give away apples for
not to
for
my knowledge? We've probably got a few teachers in the building that'll give them pencils or something
funny.
Like that.
Yeah, we learn quickly to avoid that house in the future, you know.
Yeah, you figure out which house has the big size candy bars.
Yeah, that's right. We go to the expensive neighborhoods.
Yes.
Hey, Mom, would you drive us over here? What? That's across town. Yeah, let's do it.
That's where we're going to get full-size Snickers.
And you do. Yeah. I'm like, what are these people thinking? They're buying whole candy bars and giving them away. It's like Christmas almost.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to learn more about about Adam's Place if they want to stop by for a tour? Do they need to call ahead, or do they just drop in?
They can drop in. We always welcome drop-ins. The only challenge with a drop-in is that either myself or Claire or Steve, who represent assisted living, we may not be available to sit down and talk about pricing and availability. So, you know, my suggestion, please feel free to drop in. If I'm available, I'll certainly take you on a tour at that point in time. If I'm not, I'll try to step out and schedule an appointment with you. So in independent living, we created an ambassador program, and our ambassadors will actually take potential guests or potential residents on tours, show them their homes, show them around the common areas, give them a packet of information, and then gather their contact information so that I can follow up with them. So that really helps where the walk-ins are concerned if I'm not available.
Okay, so easy enough to do.
It is.
You can drop in, and if you drop in, just take a look at the place and then say, hey, I think I want to come back to talk a little more serious about this.
Yes, absolutely. And you can always call ahead to schedule appointments. The main campus phone number is 615-904-9111, and you can just ask for whichever part of the campus you're looking for, whether it's independent living, assisted living, memory care, or the healthcare center. Yeah, calling, dropping by, following us on social media, logging onto our website, any of those means.
Sounds good. Again, Terry Deal with Adam's Place this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.